on the app. And so I know we've been utilizing the all the online, all that stuff nowadays, and so that's pretty cool. Well, if you have your Bibles, we can turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read Matthew 16, 19, but we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, kind of recap a little bit from last week, and then we'll jump forward. You know, we are in a very wild time. It's a very awesome time. It's a very unique time. We're at a place we've never been before. We've got to get that into our understanding that you and I have never been here before. And so the reason why I say that is because we've got to get out of a mindset that could have been lulled into us. Now I could admit that because as a minister, I've been in ministry for 20-something years, over 25 years now. And if you do something long enough, it's very easy to get you get complacent or familiar. Well, you know, I can just I've been doing it long enough. I can just pull up a sermon real quick. I can figure out a sermon, something to preach. I don't have to spend time really in the Word or seeking God. I can do this by rote or just out of repetition. You know, and it's easy to do that. You know, the Bible does tell us to be instant, in season, and out of season. And so if somebody called me today and says, "Hey, can you come minister tonight?" I can go. But at the same time, I'm still going to seek God on what I'm supposed to share. You know, last night we take every ministry opportunity to heart. We call it important for every time we go out and have the opportunity to influence people. You see what I'm saying? And so so now as a minister, I've got to make sure that I'm not doing things as always, or that I'm not getting familiar with church and with ministry. And as the fall opens up and we're on the road a little bit more, I don't want to get familiar with going into another church and ministering. I don't want to get familiar with that. Because just because I've done it forever, you know, now most of my life I've been in ministry. And so at the church here, we can't do that as well. You know, I'm used to, going to church all of our lives. We're used to going in and hearing a good encouraging message. You know, now we've got to look for a timely word on a regular basis. And the reason why is we've never been here before. There has been a shift in the atmosphere, and we are learning on how to function again. We're learning what to do in these times, how to function, how to operate. You know, for years and years and years, we've talked about how the Bible talks about wealth transfer, and now we're at a place where, like, the natural mind says, "Well, how can that happen when everything's going on?" But the Bible says it's still true. And so now we have to dig into the Word more and begin to live out of our spirit, out of what we can't see. Because we've gotten so used to living by how we can see. "Well, I keep coming to church and I see empty chairs." Well, speak and call those chairs full. Begin to witness and bring folk. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got to stop. I got a word while we were at the conference with Brother Jesse about quit looking at what I can't see. But quit looking at what I can't see and begin to start living out of what the Lord says. Man, I ain't playing that game anymore, that I'm gonna live by what I can see. Now look, I know you gauge things by the natural and you have to factor in certain things, but at the same time, your walk and my walk with God is not based on the seen, it's based on the unseen. Because every single thing that God does, it begins in the unseen. You know, on Tuesday nights, we've been talking about the unseen and where temptation and where these impulses to do wrong comes from. We've been talking about the spirit of the world. We've been talking about how the spirit of the enemy, who blinds us, who has the ability to blind our thinking, and blind, we've got to give more attention to the things we can't see and stop looking at the things we see with so much intent. You see what I'm saying? All right, so back to this right here. And so in Matthew 16, we said this, that Jesus said after Jesus mentioned the church for the first time, he said, "And I will give you," or "give thee," who is he talking to? The church, the ecclesia, those that are called out to gather, called out to gather. We see that there. And he says, "I will give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you, the church, shall bind on earth, it shall be bound on heaven, and whatsoever you, the church, will loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We said this, that the church is supposed to be a dominating force on the planet. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, and God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Everyone say, over all the earth. Who is supposed to have dominion? We are. We are supposed to have dominion. And so when people say, well, you know, God is in control. Sweetheart, that verse doesn't say that. That verse says you and I are supposed to be in control. You and I were created with the abilities and with the priorities from heaven to take control and dominate on the earth. That's what this is saying. Now, I don't want you to believe one verse. You're not supposed to do that. So you can write down Psalms 8, and we'll go to that here in a minute. But I want to go over two words in Genesis 1:26. The word God, number one. The word God is Elohim, and it is a plural. So we're talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But then look at the word image. The word image. The word image means likeness. We're created in God's image, His likeness. The word image means resemblance. The word image means model. And listen to this. The word image means representative. God created mankind to be a representative of heaven. You can write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. It says that our citizenship is of heaven. When you're born again, your citizenship is of heaven. So let's just pretend like this right here is our new passport. And our new passport shows what our citizenship of, our country of origin, and it is from a place called heaven. Now, let me tell you this. This settles, Philippians 3:20 settles racism right there, because this is everyone's citizenship who's born again. If you're white, if you're black, if you're brown, if you're half white, half brown, half this, half yellow, purple, whatever you might be, it doesn't matter. You no longer have a earthly race. Because now, when you're born again, your citizenship is brand new, and nothing on the outside of you matters. What matters is what's the inside of you. You see that? And so as ministers, we should be saying that instead of some of the things other ministries are saying these days. And so it's vital we recognize that. So, a representative. We are a representative of heaven. That's why the Bible tells us in the New Testament, Jesus said, you will do greater works than I do because I go off to my Father which is in heaven. I'm leaving, so you will do greater works. Why? Because the Bible says this. The Bible tells us we are ambassadors of Christ. Y'all know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is basically like the president of a nation in another country. And so in Belize, there's an ambassador of the U.S. to the nation of Belize. He acts as the president of the United States in that country. That's kind of his authority of the president. Now, there are some things he can't do, but as far as a representative, he represents the entire USA in that nation. You see, that's what you and I are. That's who you and I are. That's why we can't see ourselves as natural human beings anymore, because that's not how God sees us. God sees us as an empowered representative, an ambassador of heaven on the earth with the authority. Remember the word keys. In Matthew 16:19, the word keys represents authority. If you have the keys of something, you can open up any something that key represents. And so you and I, the church represents the kingdom. The word likeness, we were created in His image and His likeness. The word likeness means it represents a comparison of two things. So when you put God beside you, the Bible says you bear a likeness. We are not God, but if we're the children of God, then you have His DNA. Is that right? You have your daddy's DNA. Is that how it goes? Listen, it's always been that way. Adam had the Father God's DNA, but what happened was Adam got his eyes on flesh. The enemy wants you to look at self instead of the greater is He that's within you. You see, the enemy said, God doesn't want you to eat the fruit of the garden, because if you eat the fruit of the garden, you'll be just like God. Did he forget that he was created just like God? Adam, see, he got his eyes on flesh. You know, there are things that we're learning about who we are in Christ. We know what the Bible says, but we haven't discovered it, all of it just yet. In other words, we're not living it all just yet. And see, as we continue to grow in the things of God, we'll begin to see, wow, Father, you mean you gave me your ability to do this down here? And so that's what we as the church have got to recognize. Again, it is not the scene. It's not looking in the mirror. Looking in the mirror, we lie to ourselves. Now, please look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, thank God I looked in the mirror this morning. I would have had eye boogers or whatever, but, you know, my hair would have been all messed up and all that. But I did. I took care of it. I shaved a little bit, fixed my hair. Thank God for a mirror. But that is not who you are. The real you is on the inside of this vehicle we call the body. All right, so the word likeness means it represents a comparison of two things. The word likeness means a pattern. The word likeness means like as. So you're created in the likeness of God. It means similar. Similar means a resemblance. You know, if you were to line my two kids up right here and start looking at them and me, you would see some resemblance. You would see some resemblance. As a matter of fact, you would see certain ways that they walk. You'll see, hear certain things that they say. You will recognize a resemblance. That should be the same thing with all of us. We should have a resemblance of our Father God. Now, here's the kicker, though. For years and years and years, we've said this. Well, you know, we got to be like Jesus and love everybody. We love everybody. We do. But that's not all Jesus did. He didn't walk around just loving everybody. He walked around healing the sick. He walked around delivering people that were captives. He walked around casting out devils. He walked around stopping storms. He walked around decreeing increase to feed people and to get rid of poverty. See, God has a way to get rid of that, but it starts with the Word of God. And so we as representatives, as ambassadors, as resemblance or similar or fashioned as, we should be doing the same thing. But that's where you and I have to realize we are not mere humans. All right, back to Psalms 8. Psalms 8, we'll start at verse 4. And this is, again, this is a prophetic opening of the heavenlies where David was seeing the past. You know, the thing about the spirit realm, in the spirit realm, you'll see past, present, and future all at one time. And so David's looking in the spirit realm, and he sees the angels talking, and the angels say, "What is man?" Because remember, they never saw man before. You know, all there was angels, and angels got kicked out, which are now demons. And so what is man that you're mindful of him? The word mindful means you're thinking of him all the time. You know, the Bible says that God thinks about you and I so much that you can't count the thoughts. You cannot count how much God thinks about you. You couldn't measure it. He thinks about us so much. And people say, well, he's thinking about what you did last night. And no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, number one, it says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not his thoughts. Or God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the thoughts for you that I know the thoughts that I have for you," says God, "thoughts of good, not evil." So, what is God thinking all the time of us? Good, not evil, to give us a hope and a future. And so, God's thinking about you and I. And so, what's man that you're mindful of him, that you're thinking about him all the time? The son of man that you visit him. See, this is why you and I were created. The Bible says that God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. Now, even God walks in the cool of the day. Nobody going outside the heat of the day, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. But see, fellowship. To be saved and never fellowship with God, we're missing the whole purpose of this reunion with the Father. All right. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, this word angels is a bad translation because the Greek word, or the Hebrew word, is Elohim. Elohim, the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, same word, Elohim. And so this is a bad King James translation where they said that we were created a little lower than the angels. We were not. We were created a little lower than God himself. And that has crowned him with glory and honor. So God puts glory and honor on us. God honors us. That is the weirdest, that's just so weird to think that. Man, I'll tell you, you know, you ever honored your children before? Just birthday parties. We honor your children's birthday. But, you know, a lot of times you honor with other things. You know, son, I want to bless you and want to do this with you. I want to bless you here, bless you there. Daughter, I want to honor you. Just bless you. Why? Because you can. Because you love your kids. You just want to do stuff there. It says, thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands and put all things under his feet. So God, once again, here's the Bible saying that God's given us dominion over all the works of his hands and put how many things under our feet? All things. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and write down 15 through 22, because this verse talks about God, again, with dominion. But then it says in the last part, verse 22, and hath put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So in other words, Jesus is the head, we are the feet, and all things are under what? The feet. All things are under. We are supposed to be walking out of this building every Sunday knowing that we are more than a conqueror. We are in union with the head, Jesus Christ. And what is he the head of? The body of Christ. That word used here in verse 22, the church. Over all things to the church. Are you seeing how important the church is now? Now more than ever, we are the empowered, unified, glorified, honored by heaven body of Jesus Christ on the earth. We are representatives of who he is. You know, people say, well, you know, if Jesus, it'd be great if Jesus was on the earth today, I'd maybe get my miracles. Listen, he is. His body is on the earth. And all things are under our feet, his feet, if we are united and unified with the head of the church. People say, well, I could be a part of the body of Christ and not go to church. You don't realize what the word church means. Called out to gather. Called out to gather. Where the Bible says, come out from among them and be thou separate. Come out from the world and be separate from the world and then gather with believers. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we share this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse, we're going to read 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, 23 through 35. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Here's our good confession scripture right here that we hold fast. The word profession also means confession. What does the word profession and confession mean in the Greek? It means this. Listen. It means say the same as. Say the same as. The same as what or same as whom? Say the same thing Jesus said. Say what Jesus said. You know, what real faith begins with is just saying what Jesus said. Do you know that Jesus never said that he was a sinner saved by grace? Never said that. Do you know that religion teaches people to say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace? Jesus didn't say that, so why would we say that? Jesus never said, oh, I'm so unworthy. As a matter of fact, Jesus modeled that he don't want to hear that. Where? With the prodigal son. When the prodigal son started groveling and acting, you know, well, oh, Dad, I don't deserve to be called your son. I'll just live as one of your servants. They eat better. The dad ignored all that religious grumbling. And he said, get the best that I have and restore my son back to where he was before, plus some. Listen, God wants us to say what he says about you. That song we sang today, that you are a child of God. You are God's favorite. You ever thought about that? You are God's favorite. Well, who's God's favorite today? It's you. It's me. We got to remember that. You are favored by God. God has favored, but you and I have to believe that. You see, when you begin to believe what God says about you, it changes. It changes how you think. It changes how you walk. Listen to this. It changes your personality. You know, if you were someone who's been beat on as you were growing up, you know, maybe your parents abused you, it changes your personality. It brings down your personality. If you're always called names growing up, it changes your personality. Well, you know what? There's a positive side to that. If you will find out what Jesus says about you,
what Jesus did for you, what the Father thinks about you, what the Father did for you, it changes your personality. It makes you think different about who you really are, a son and a daughter of God. You know, we've got to make sure, and we have to work on making sure that more Mackenzie than Max, I think, that she doesn't try to ride our coattails. You know, Keys and I, we believe in favor. We walk in favor. We're pretty bold. And we don't want her to act all, you know, I can do that because Dad does that, you know. No, honey, you're still a little kid right now. And you need to just make sure you recognize you ain't the boss. You know what I'm saying? And so, but again, when you realize who you are, it changes you. It makes you think different. It makes you feel different. When you get out of bed knowing that I have dominion today, and no matter what the enemy says or does, it's a lie, and it's changeable, and it's fixed. Anything the devil does, it's fixable, and we can make things better. Amen? All right, so back to Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith. What is our profession of faith? It is speaking what God says and not what the enemy says. It is saying the same as God. If God says my body's healed and my body says it's not, I'm going to say what God says, not what my body says. You know, I'll tell you right now, just about every day over the past several years, I've woken up and I felt something in my body that wasn't saying I was healed. But you know what I do? I begin to remind my body who's in charge. And I begin to tell my body, no, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to the Word of God, and I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And if I've got to limp into the kitchen talking to my body, it's what I do. It's what I will do, because it says hold fast to your profession of faith. Just because something happened doesn't mean you let go of your profession of faith. Doesn't mean you stop speaking what God would speak. So let us hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering. Oh, I'm the healed of the Lord. Well, you know, maybe I'm not healed. Oh, I'm blessed financially. Oh, maybe I'm not blessed. Maybe I'm broke. I don't know. Well, listen, without wavering. The word wavering means to go back and forth, back and forth. God doesn't want us to waver. He wants us to get the Word of God in us so strong to where it's concrete and we only believe what it says, okay? For He is faithful that promised. See, why do we not have to waver? Because He's faithful. He does what He says. He says what He does and does what He says, and we can bank on it. Our lives are depending on that right now. And thank God He does what He says. Now, look at this big faith statement we just got here. And the next statement says, let us consider one another. Oh, now Jesus goes from being word of faith, being big time on the faith thing, to let's think about each other. You know, a lot of times faithful, we just talk about healing and finances all the time. Listen, thank God that's a promise, but we go from there to let us consider or think about one another. Why? To provoke them to love and good works. Provoke them to love and good works. Well, loving would be, well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, all the things that love is. But what's the next one? Good works. What are good works? Good works would be, hey, are you going to church? Hey, are you being blessing? Are you witnessing? Are you loving on folk? Are you being aggravated at folk all the time? Yeah, that's one of the things that you're trying to work. You know, it's like you put a mask on, and instantly it's like, I'm aggravated because I got a mask. I agree. I get you. But I'm learning. I'm doing better, man. We were in Oklahoma the other day, a couple weeks ago, and Sunday we got there. They didn't have the ordinance for wearing masks in the state of Oklahoma. I think like Oklahoma City and Moore and Yukon, they had it for the cities. But Oklahoma as a state didn't have that. Well, Monday it went into effect. And so we go into the store on Monday, and they hand us, and I have my mask in my pocket. You know, I was going to, when I get to the door, I'll put it on. You know, I'm going to wait to the last second. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to breathe as much as I can in fresh air. And then when I walk in the door, I will respect you, and I will put it on. And so, but there were some in our crew, I'm not going to mention her name, they did not want to put it on. I'm like, McKenzie, or Keza. I'm McKenzie. Keza. I said her name, didn't I? My bad. I'm like, Keza. Just put it on. Be respectful. Here you got a Jesus shirt on. That's why I don't always wear Jesus shirts. Listen, I'm going to talk about Jesus, but I'm going to be a Jesus person if I'm going to talk about it. But you know, you don't wear, that's why I don't have no fish on the back of my car. You know what I'm saying? Just in case I forget I'm not on that tollway between. No, I don't. All right, so back to this right here. Let us consider one another to provoke them to love and good works. Now watch this, because it doesn't stop there at good works. It tells you what a good work is. Watch this. Not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together. How important is it that in the one of the biggest faith statements of the Bible, it includes this right here. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. What does exhorting mean? Encourage. Hey, ask your neighbors. Hey, you want to come to church with me today? Hey, maybe somebody at the store. You want to come to church with me today? Just ask. Why not? Why not? When's the last time you've been embarrassed before? Let me embarrass you right now. When's the last time? So we just got to get used to getting a no. My father-in-law, you told me years ago, he said, Michael, he said, you know, one of the things about the word no is if you hear no enough, eventually you'll finally get to a yes. And so, man, ask whoever it is that you've been talking to, hey, will you come to church with me? Will you come to church with me? You know, no, I can't do that. There's a million excuses. We know it. But you know what? Just keep at it. Keep at it until finally they come. Or whatever it takes. Not forsaking one another, but exhorting one another, and so much more. Everyone say much more. And so much more. Why, how, when? As you see the day approaching. What day? Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is where we'll get to today. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is after 1 Timothy. All right, we can get to it here. 2 Timothy, there's Thessalonians, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will start at verse 1. If I can find it. There we go. There we go. All right. This is Paul talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, remember we're talking about as the day approaches, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal. We're seeing this without self-control. We're seeing brutal right now. Despisers of good, despisers of doing good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power, and from such people turn away. Now, I want you to see this because it lists a bunch of stuff. Now, I won't go over and detail all those words in the original Greek, but let's go back to verse 1. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Everybody say perilous. I'm going to read to you again, I love Pastor Rick Renner. He's an awesome scholar, really. And this is taken from one of his devotionals, Sparkling Gems. You know, you can get that emailed every day for free, and it's awesome. Keys and I, it's part of our, I hate to say routine, but that's how we get our spirits jump started every day. Is he's speaking, if you can read it or you can go to the video, and that just kind of gets our spirit rolling. But this is from 2016, so this is not recent. This is what he says. It says, the Bible makes it unmistakably plain that in the last days the world will be filled with difficulties, the like of which have never before been known in the history of mankind. Are we at the edge of that right now? We have seen some pandemics before. We've had seen plagues before, but not on this global level. In fact, the Holy Spirit was so committed to making sure we understand what will occur in the last days that here in this passage, it is as if He points His prophetic finger 2,000 years into the future and specifically foretells what will occur at the end of the age. 2 Timothy 3, we read this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Notice that this verse begins by saying, this know. The word know, K-N-O-W, is the Greek word gnosko, the Greek word for knowledge. But in this verse, it is used in the present imperative tense, which means it is a very strong command to recognize that there is something that must be known. Now, I want you to see that. Something that must be known. See, you could know about something, but then you could know about something. There is a huge, huge difference. So, something that must be known, must be recognized, and must be acknowledged. Having this knowledge is not optional. It is mandatory. The verse continues, this know also that in the last days, the word last, L-A-S-T, in this verse is from the Greek word eschatos, which points to the ultimate end of a thing. So the last days, ultimate end of a thing, such as the last month of a year, the last week of the month, the last day of the week, or the very extreme end of the age. So are you seeing this? That this is a time we've never been in before. We are at the outer end, the very extreme end of the age. In other words, the word eschatos doesn't merely describe the last days in general. You see, the last days in general started being mentioned even when Jesus was alive. But the very last of the last days, it was used in the classical Greek literature to depict a place furthest away, such as the very ends of the earth. In this sense, it also signifies something that is final. With this word eschatos, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, takes us right into the end of the age to enlighten our eyes, to help us see what the world environment will be like in the concluding moments of this age. We're starting to see that right now. Paul goes on to say that perilous times will mark the final age. Perilous is the Greek word kalopos, a word used to describe ugly words that when spoken, listen to this, this word describes ugly words that when spoken are hurtful and extremely emotionally hard to bear. It is also used in various pieces of literature to depict wild, vicious, uncontrollable animals that are unpredictable and dangerous. Listen, that word perilous means wild, or depict wild, vicious, uncontrollable animals that are unpredictable and dangerous. Now, you know, there are some humans that are acting like animals right now, that are wild, vicious, uncontrollable animals that are unpredictable and dangerous. I saw somebody sent me a video clip. There were some people at a college campus. They set up a little pop-up canopy, and they were there. They were preaching and speaking, you know, basically preaching the gospel. And this lady just starts walking up to them and starts barking like a dog. Now, she probably had a demon, but she would just walk, just kind of creep up to them like this, barking at them. Wild, unpredictable, like animals. Listen, you'll see more of that. That's why we have to get back to the Great Commission and be ready to cast out some devils. All right. It always carries the idea of an action, place, person, or thing that is harsh, harmful, and filled with high risk. This is the very word used in Matthew 8:28 to portray the demon-possessed men who were so legendary out in the country of the Gadarenes. It says, when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. The words exceeding fierce is the same word kalopos. So perilous times is the same word that's used, exceeding fierce. This means the two demon-possessed men were like wild, vicious, uncontrollable animals, completely unpredictable and dangerous. Simply being in the region near these men place one's life in jeopardy because these demonized men were kalopos. They were harsh. They were harmful, presenting a high risk to anyone in that region. Taking the definitions of these two words into consideration, 2 Timothy 3:1 could be taken to mean this. You emphatically must know what I'm about to tell you, in the very last part of the last days, in the very end of the age, hurtful, harmful, dangerous, unpredictable, uncontrollable, high-risk periods of time will come. Now, I want you to see that. That would normal, to the normal mind, that would make you go, ugh. But what you and I have to realize is we still have a promise and a covenant. We still have a promise from God for not just protection, but to deal with these animals. We have a power and anointing and authority from heaven to cast out. Well, what did Jesus do with these two dangerous, animalistic, crazy, high-risk men? What did Jesus do with these jokers? Cast the devils out of him. Real simple. Oh, we got a high-risk situation. Okay, let's cast the devil out of the situation, and we're done. Why do we let things prolong so long? Get it cast out. Take care of business. Find out what's going on. All right, Lord, is there something for me to cast out? Is there something for me to counsel out? What is it today, God? What do I got to do? What? Listen, you are a little Jesus going someplace to happen. Remember, the word Christian was an insult. It wasn't meant to be who we are. The word Christian means little Christ. And they were saying that to these Christians back then, these believers, because they were doing the works of Jesus. Who are you, a little Christ? Yeah, actually I am. Because he said so. He said, greater works will I do because I go to my Father, which is in heaven. What is the church today? The church is the answer to the crazy. The church is God's answer to the perilous times. Listen, there are perilous times, but God has given the church the answer. Well, he's given some Christians and some Christians don't. Listen, it's to the church. And that's why the church needs to be unified. That's why the church needs to be organized. That's why the church needs to be together. Because the Bible says for us to forsake not that assembling of ourselves together, even as the day approaches. Are you seeing this? This is not a time to play the way we did back in the old days, or maybe just do the thing. You know, we're talking before church started about how now pedophilia is now being promoted and acceptable by a certain political party. That it's okay if, you know, love has no gender, no age, no this, no that. Pretty soon it's going to have no species. Look out. It's basically, the Bible says that's going to happen, you know what I'm saying? And then it's going to have no beings, spiritual or human beings. What am I saying? We're in a day and age where we have, as parents, I've got to model to my kids, not teach them, model it. It's one thing to sit down and teach it and then not do it myself. I've got to model to my children so they grow up knowing this is what we do because we believe God. We're going to do, and listen, this ain't right over here and that ain't right over there. Not because mom and daddy said so, but because mom and daddy lived like that and they showed me in the Word of God where God says about that. Listen, more than ever, this is the time where I have to model to my son and model to my daughter. Guys, we love Jesus not because the Bible says to. I don't worship because the Bible says to. Listen, I'm going to learn to love Jesus. And I don't want to do it because mom and daddy did it. My sister and I'll close with this. Several years ago, we were talking on the phone, and I love my sister. She's one of my best friends. And we were talking, and there was a time where she had backslid and went away from God. Praise God, she made her way back. She's serving God. She actually was supposed to go on a missions trip to India with Lakewood Church in Houston in September, but because of all the things going on, they just, like 2 weeks ago, had to go ahead and make the decision to postpone the trip until, I think, maybe spring or something like that. But anyway, so she and I were talking, and she said this. She said, you know, the easiest thing that got me back to serving God again was I just always knew that mom's God was real. And it just, because mom wasn't a hypocrite. You know, there's things she knew, things she didn't know, and she lived by what she knew. And, you know, mom lived this life behind closed doors. And she said, you know, if mom was a hypocrite, I don't think I'd be serving God today. And so she said, but I knew that the God of my mom was real. And thank God she saw miracles and all that stuff. But she said this. She said, you know what? It was what mom modeled that brought me back to God today. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. You and I are our walk with God as we grow. As we grow. I'm growing. Man, I am not where I want to be. I've got so much more growth. Man, I used to go to my pastor's house before he went home to be with the Lord. I go to his house, and he was a supernatural individual. I've never personally met a more supernatural individual than him in my entire life. And I would go every week. I would go spend at least an hour in his office just chit-chat with him. And I let him pour into me and pour, and it was great. But I'd walk out of there every week. It was an hour and a half to get home. He lived up in Anna. And I'd drive home thinking, man, I don't know nothing. You know, because there's so much more. Because, see, this will lead us into the spirit realm. And there was something he would say. He said, Michael, he said, you're gonna know God through his word, and you're going to know God past the word. Wow. Now, listen, everything that God says and God does in the spirit confirms in the word. Don't get me wrong. But, man, I'm telling you what. That's why when people say, well, you know, sometimes God does mean things, and sometimes he doesn't. You don't know God. You're saved, and you don't know God. Well, you know, it's God's will for that tragedy to happen. Sweetheart, you're saved, but you don't know God. You've been saved 2,000 years, and you don't even know God. You know, I know that's an insult to some people, but it's the bottom line. You know, I know God to a degree. I'll tell you, I know God to a degree, but I'm not there. My intimate knowledge of him is not where I want to be just yet. But you know what I do on a daily basis? I pursue that. I pursue that on a daily basis. And listen, man, I'm telling you what, there's going to be a time where I don't even know who I am because I'm so enthralled with God. Woo-hoo, boy, I tell you. But I'm getting there. Are you? That's saying this morning. Man, I hit a vein there. I wanted to just kind of go, but boy, I tell you what. We are just in an exciting time. Things are going to be more exciting. I had a word given to me several years ago that we are no longer taking one step forward, but three steps. Three steps at a time. I like that because I've wasted a lot of time in my life not believing. That's how you waste time, by not believing. Well, God, I know you told me to do this, but you know, I'm just little old Michael Moon. I can't do all that. I'm just me, you know. Enough of that. I'm going to start believing bigger. Matter of fact, I believe bigger. And that's just the bottom line because, you know, we're at a place in history where even ministers are falling away. Even ministers are packing it up. I've known several that have quit the ministry this year, have closed up the doors of their churches this year. Man, I've known several last year. And so what am I saying? I don't want to do what I've always done. I want to hit the ground running every day of my life. I want to be that ambassador that Jesus has called us to be. I want to be the representative. I want to represent the body of Christ. When I walk out of here today, I want to represent the body of Christ. I don't want anyone to say, man, wouldn't it have been cool to be around when Jesus was around? Sweetheart, he is around. And I do apologize that I have not shown you the real Jesus in full authority and power, but I'm getting there. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you that no matter what the time is, oh, the believer is blessed. Not the Christian, but the believer that believes everything your word says. Father, today we recognize that we are, Lord, we as believers, we are a supernatural people. We are a special, we are a unique people. Lord, your word even says we are a peculiar people. And Father, I thank you that our peculiarity is because we show forth the power of God, the goodness of God, the praises of God, and the glory of God. Father, that's who I want to be. That's who you've called me to be. And from this point on, Lord, that is what we endeavor to do. So today, we recognize as we leave this place that we are a part of the body of Christ. Jesus is our head. We might be the feet, but oh, you said you've put everything under our feet. There's nothing left to put under our feet. It's all there. And so, Father, I thank you that you said we will trample over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt us, the church. Father, I thank you for a greater unity. I thank you for, Lord, just a greater cohesion, a greater force, not just this church, but the church in general, the church in this region, the church in our state, the church in our country, the church globally.
and we thank you for it. Now, in Jesus' name, I bless this house. I bless this congregation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, we have a lot of people that watch and watch later, watch live. If you have never given Jesus Christ your life, if you've never asked Him to come into your life and be your Savior and your Lord, then I want to make sure and give you that opportunity this morning because, man, there is nothing like being a part of the called out ones who are called out to gather. And so if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth, died, and rose again, paid the price for our sins, the Bible says all you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And so basically we're going to pray this prayer, and I want you to, everyone here, to pray this prayer after me. Father, I thank you for your great grace, your great love, and your great mercy. Thank you for sending Jesus, your greatest possession, to redeem my life on the cross, out of the grave, just for me. I believe in you, Jesus. I repent of my sins. I invite you inside of me to make me brand new. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace. And I receive your life, new life. From this day forward, I'm a new creation. And I will believe, I endeavor to start living the life of Jesus Christ on the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all believe that today? Praise God. It's going to be a good week. Let's walk out remembering that you are a representative, an ambassador, a citizen of heaven this morning. Amen. Well, hug somebody, greet someone before you leave this morning. God bless.